Well, hey, good morning, COTK, and I'm Pastor Josh, for those of you who do not know me, and I just want to say on behalf of our pastor, Pastor Todd and Lisa, welcome this morning to the second part of our series, The Christmas Story. If you missed last week, it was an awesome message as Pastor Todd took us through the birth of John the Baptist, and it seems like, okay, why is that in The Christmas Story? You need to go listen to it and find out. It's awesome. So we're going through kind of this book of Luke and this lead up to the birth of Jesus, and then this week we're going to step into the birth of Jesus and a cool part of the story that we've all read a lot. But I think sometimes we kind of just jump over some of the details and miss, I think, what's probably really the biggest point of the whole story. And so here's what I love about God. God is a storyteller. He is. God is a storyteller. He loves to craft and to build stories. And he does it the same way that he builds us. So when we look at how God builds his kingdom and his people, he builds them revelationally, where he reveals himself to people. He also builds relationally, so that once there's been this revelation of who God is and what he's done for them, then there's this relationship where God begins to craft and form this connection with people. And then that connection, that revelation, and that connection is something that doesn't just transform a person, but it typically transforms families and relationships around that person. And God begins to build generationally. So that's how he builds. He builds revelationally, relationally, and generationally. And you see that in the lives of people like Adam. God, you know, formed him in the garden and then began to connect with him. And you see a cool story there. You see it with Abraham. You see it with Moses. You see it with David. And that's our God. Our God is a storyteller. He loves to tell a good story. So I want to jump into this second part of the Christmas story, and we're going to look at Luke chapter 2. So if you've got your Bibles, now's a great time to do it. We're going to spend a little bit of time here in Luke. We'll jump a little bit into John and maybe a little dash of Ephesians here or there, but we're going to be in Luke 2, and this is the Christmas story. We read this. I know my family growing up, we read this story literally every single Christmas morning. This was kind of our tradition, and maybe you guys have similar traditions. By the way, if you're watching here on Facebook, do this in the comments. This is completely unspiritual, but I encourage you to do it. Take a moment and tell us some of your crazy Christmas traditions. My family, our tradition is on Christmas morning, we make something the men do in the household called Fiskeballers. It is a 100-plus-year-old tradition from the English side of my family, and it's amazing. Nobody else thinks it is, but it's amazing. So if you want the recipe, contact me later and I'll let you know. But let us know what some of your traditions are on Christmas morning. But for my family, after we ate our Fiskeballers on Christmas morning, before we did our presents, we would read Luke 2. And it's the story of the birth of Jesus. And then it goes into the shepherds. I love this story. So I'm going to give you a little background, then we're going to jump into a couple of verses. So if you look in Luke 2:1, it talks about how there was a census. So the Romans occupied Israel. They controlled the whole thing. And so Caesar Augustus wants to know who's all in Israel. And so he requires a census where everyone comes and they have to go back to their ancestral homes. Well, Joseph and Mary, Joseph is from the family line of David. So he's descended from King David. And so he has to go back to Bethlehem. So he and Mary go. Mary is very, very pregnant. If you remember, the angel came to Mary and said, hey, you're going to have a child. It was immaculate conception. This is literally where it comes from, right here. Like God put Jesus in Mary. Merry Christmas. And so that is where we are. So Mary and Joseph are on their way to Bethlehem. They get there. There's people from literally all over because they all have to come back to their homes. And so the people are moving and traveling. There's inns. Everything's full. And so she has to have her baby, Jesus, the Son of God, here in Bethlehem in the middle of all this madness. There's no space in the inn. And so she has the baby and then places him, wraps him up in a cloth, and places him in a manger. We all know this story. We love seeing it. It's really cool. But I want to read. Let's look at verse 8. We're going to pick up there. This is where we're picking up in verse 8 of Luke chapter 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. This was important, by the way, because of either wolves, other predators, or thieves. They would come at night to take them. So they're out there doing their job. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. By the way, side note, angels are terrifying. They are not the cute little feathery, fluffy covered dudes that barely have any clothes on, shooting arrows at people. That is not angels, okay? This is not the babies with wings. That is not what angels are. Anytime you see an angel show up in scripture, they always have to say what this guy says next, which is, don't be afraid, every single time. So they're terrifying, okay? And he says this, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born. So he's going, hey, here's David. David's line. There's a Savior coming. Has been born to you. He is the Messiah, which is what they're looking for, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find the baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. And then suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host, I love this, appears with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace on whom his favor rests. Peace to those on whom his favor rests. I'm going to read that again because this is going to be an important verse for the rest of today. Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. So here's the deal. This announcement, so the shepherds, by the way, they leave from there. They go see the baby Jesus and Mary. And then they go out and they become the first evangelists ever in the history of the church. And they go out and they begin to tell everybody about Jesus. It's kind of a cool thing. And by the way, side note, man, when you encounter Jesus, like it's just so like you just want to share it. You want to go out. So that's what these guys did. They're out there. The stinky shepherds are going out and running and telling everybody in the world, I just saw an angel and the Messiah. Greatest day ever. It's pretty cool. That's where we're at. And see, we read through this thing and it sounds really, really cool. I love it. It's great. I think about every time I read this story, I think about Charlie Brown and his little story. It used to be on TV everywhere until this year, 2020. But this is what I think about. Like it's an awesome story. But we read through this and I think we miss what this announcement was. It wasn't just some invitation to come see a cute baby. That's not what it was at all. I mean, it was like, hey, this is where the Lord is. But it was more than just an invitation. It was a proclamation of a change of policy from God. God was about to do something really, really different with mankind. This announcement was not just a, hey, Jesus is here, yay. This was God going, I'm about to do something different. So here's the thing. It had been almost 600 years since a king had come from David's line. 600 years since there had been a king in Israel from David's line on the throne. They had been taken to Babylon and been captive there for many, many years. They returned, but even in returning, they were always controlled by somebody else. They were in their homeland, but other people were always in power. So there's not been a king. 600 years almost now, and now we're in the Roman occupation, okay? And so here's this proclamation of this Messiah, but there's a problem because Jesus ultimately didn't live up to their expectations. Jesus was not what any of these guys were expecting. So because of the fact that we're against this backdrop, against the Roman occupation, here's what everyone's looking for. They're looking for a warrior to overthrow Rome. They're looking for someone to come in as a victorious conqueror and kick these dudes out and get their country back. That's what they're looking at. And so there's this huge focus on the Romans and what they're doing, the occupation. In fact, there's a whole movement even through the time of Jesus, and I love this, by the way, because he even had one of these guys in his disciples right next to a tax collector for the Roman government. But you had the Zealots. These were guys who were there actively trying to overthrow the Roman government. And so this whole movement was focused on the Romans, the Romans, the Romans. This is the problem. This is the problem. But the problem is when we focus on some of these external things, it hides, it conceals, it takes our focus off the deeper darkness and sickness that was there at the heart of the nation of Israel, which is really why Jesus came. And there's a little lesson, I think, for us in this when it comes to our own lives, and that is that the enemy's tactic, the devil's play, is always to get us to look at the external things, the things that are happening around us, rather than dealing with the things that are going on in our own hearts and our own lives. And we understand this with things in life. So take, for instance, trees, okay? Right now, we're dealing, obviously, with a lot of trees that are down. But back when our trees were all in one piece before Hurricane Laura, if you began to see branches die off in a tree, you didn't look at the branches. You started to look at things that were a little deeper. Man, what's impacting my root systems? What's going on with the trunk? What are the things that are feeding? Like, we started looking at what's really going on, not the external circumstances. We looked at what was going on with the plant, with the tree. We understand this in medical, and man, this was something that was very near and dear to our own family with Kelly's cancer, because she went through months leading up to her diagnosis of dealing with back pain. And so my old hands, we're working this thing out. We're thinking it's muscle. We're thinking it's skeletal. There's got to be something going on because of the back pain. So we're dealing with all these symptoms, not realizing until much later there was something going on that was much, much deeper. And that was a tumor inside that was impacting those areas. So we understand this in different things, but the enemy gets us in our spiritual life, in our soul, in our emotions, so focused on the things that are out there, like what was going on with the Israelites and the Romans. They were so focused on the Romans, that they failed to see what was going on in their own hearts and their lives. And so that's what we're up against when these angels come and they begin to proclaim the Messiah. And these guys are super excited about it. They're just pumped. And then the angels drop this bomb. And it was such a big bomb. And it was so contrary to everything that these guys were looking for and hoping for that I really think that the shepherds completely missed it. And I think most people did. And that's this. The Messiah, the Savior of the world, wasn't coming to fix their earthly experience. He wasn't coming to fix what was going on. Look back again at verse 14. If you got your Bibles, Luke chapter 2, verse 14. He says this, "Glory to God in the highest heaven." This again is the angels. And then listen to this phrase, "And on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." The angels are here and they're promising peace. And we love this. We read this verse every, we're like, man, peace on earth. There's Christmas songs all about peace and peace. But we love this. Peace on earth, that's such a good thing. But he's not promising peace for the earth. He's promising peace on the earth for those who God has given favor. God didn't have them say anything about changing the earth. There's no point in this proclamation that God is proclaiming a change on the earth. In fact, if anything, for the Jews, it was going to get a lot worse. Just 70 years after the birth of Jesus, Rome would finally come in and literally level the entire nation, like destroy it. The temple that Jesus would later on walk through where he's about to be circumcised 8 days later, it was leveled. And so the earthly circumstances weren't going to change. And God wasn't saying they were. The peace wasn't coming to the earthly circumstances. The peace was coming to people. This peace, the peace of God, was not determined by these world events, but was determined by God. I don't know about you, but I want peace. Anybody else? I mean, you can raise your hand. You can comment in the section here. But I love peace. I want peace in my life. And man, we look around here in Southwest Louisiana, and we've got a lot of reason for some upheaval in our lives. I mean, we've just like the rest of the nation. And during the week, Pastor Todd and I sometimes get a chance to sit on a call with pastors from literally all over the globe. And getting to hear these guys talk about COVID this and COVID that. And we kind of sometimes sit back and snicker a little bit and go, that's all you guys got is COVID? I mean, come on, come to Louisiana. We're going to show you what it looks like to have a disaster. But think of it. Like, honestly, we kind of walk around a little bit too down here with a little chip on our shoulders. Like, man, you all suckers. You can't handle it down here. And there's probably an aspect of that that's true. I mean, we've got the COVID going on. We've had the political unrest just like the rest of America. And then we've had two hurricanes back to back. And then on top of all that, we've got insurance companies. And Lord knows what a blessing those are sometimes. So this is our reality right now. And it can be so easy in this thing to just have so much stuff and we crave peace. And hear me out real quick. I want to make a statement. And when I make this statement, I'm not downplaying or lessening things like rest or self-care or seeing professionals when you need to have someone to talk to. These things are huge. They're important. In my own family, we've taken time to get out of town. Why? Because you sometimes need to see things that are put back together and not broken and shattered. That's important. You need to rest in this season. That's actually a God command. He literally gave 6 days to work and 1 day to rest. And so you need to rest. And if you need to talk to people, go talk to people. But in all of those things, this is the truth, that peace, true peace, it's a gift of God's. It's a gift of God's grace. That's what peace is. It's a gift. You look back at what these angels said, peace on earth. And on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. It's a gift from God. It's talking about God. You're going to have peace because his favor is resting on you. So how do we get this favor? Well, favor, really, and grace are pretty much synonymous. Grace is simply this. When we talk about God's grace is simply unmerited favor. And this was the very thing those angels were shouting was about God's grace. I want to read you a few scriptures. The first one's from Jesus in John 14, 27. And he says this. He says, I'm leaving you with a gift. And by the way, when we think about grace, grace isn't something you earn, okay? It's unmerited. And so when Jesus says gift, we're talking about this gift of grace, but also this gift of peace. That's what he says. I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. Man, that's great stuff right there. I love peace of mind and heart. And then he says this, the peace I give is a gift that the world cannot give. So what he's doing, he's taking us right back to where these angels are. They're going, hey, I'm going to give you peace. It's going to be on earth, but it's not for the earth. It's for you. Jesus is going, hey, you're here. This is where you're at. I've got a gift for you. It's peace. Regardless of what the world would love to give you, I've got something it can't, which is peace. And then he says this. He says, don't be troubled or afraid. I love that. The Apostle Paul, a few years later, would be writing to the church in Philippians. And this, for me, is probably one of the, if I have a life verse, this is definitely one of them. In Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, he says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything and tell God what you need. Thank him for all he's done. And then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. It goes beyond what we understand about situations and things. I can look at something and I can understand something, and God's peace can go, yes, but, and supersede what I understand in the situation. That's the peace of God. And he says this, his peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I'm going to give you peace. Paul says, it's going to guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus, the peace that comes from Christ. Jesus in John 16:33 says, I have told you all of this. He's been laying out for the disciples for a whole, it's a huge thing in John. It starts in like John 13, goes all the way to like John 17. He's going through this huge thing of what's going to happen. He says, I've told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. This is Jesus. You may have peace in me. Here on earth, you'll have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I've overcome the world. And so when we stop for a second and we reread again this proclamation of the birth of Jesus, and we look back at what the angels were saying, it wasn't just a birth announcement. It was, but it wasn't just a birth announcement. It was an introduction to Jesus. These angels were coming and they were introducing who he was and what he would do. The one that the prophet Isaiah would say was the Prince of Peace. He was the Savior of the world. This was Emmanuel, God with us, which is what Emmanuel means, God with us. This was an invitation. The angels were sending out an invitation to meet Jesus for who he really is. Not just some little baby, but this was an invitation to meet Jesus. There's an old saying and a bumper sticker, and it's been around for a while, and it always kind of cracks me up when I see it. Because invariably, it's on people's cars who, anyway, I'll explain in a second. But here's what it says. It says, no Jesus, no peace, no Jesus, no peace. And it's K-N-O-W, so K-N-O, know, like you're going to understand or meet or get to know Jesus, and then you'll get to know peace, K-N-O-W. And it says, no Jesus, N-O, so if you don't have Jesus, you don't have peace. And it's always on these cars that don't give me any peace by the way they drive, and I want to like either hit them and bump the bumper sticker off or do whatever and repent and everything else, but thank you, Lord Jesus, I'm going to move on from that. Amen. But I read these stickers and it's kind of funny. You look at it and you go, that's really true. There's a truth in that. When we read through all this, and it's a hard truth, but here's the truth. Any place in your life that you don't have peace is a place that doesn't have Jesus. I'm going to say that again. Any place in your life, in your soul, in your situations where you're going, I don't have Jesus, and it may be me dealing with your driving. But all joking aside, any place, Lord forgive me, any place that you don't have peace is a place that you don't have Jesus. Man, that's a kind of a scary thing sometimes to think about, but it's the truth. So the incarnation, God with us, Emmanuel, the incarnation, God becoming one of us, it's not just a cute story. It's an indictment of how truly broken we are. When we look at the birth of Jesus, it wasn't just some cute story. It was an indictment of how broken and who we really are. It was an indication that God's original intention for us to have a relationship with him was damaged. And it was so damaged that it was beyond our repair. There was nothing that you and I could do. That is why Jesus came. And so God, in his infinite mercy, his grace, and his love, he staged a radical intervention. He invaded our world and he jumped in between. He intervened between us and the penalty that was required for our brokenness. That's what's going on here in this thing. When the angels are coming, they're proclaiming, this is what they're proclaiming. And when he did that, when he stepped in between that penalty and our brokenness, he was killed. His human life, he willingly gave up. Why? Because he loved us. But even his death, his physical death, could not stop his love-fueled intervention. It could not. There, on the other side, he incapacitated that inescapable death and sin, the things that have plagued us for so long. He went down there and he rendered them useless. They don't have any power on us anymore. And then he busted that door out. He's like, I'm gone. See you, suckers. And he came and he invited us into a relationship. That's what the angels proclaimed. It was a relationship that we didn't deserve or we didn't earn. It was peace on earth to those whom God's favor dwelled, rested his grace. That is the incarnation. That is the Christmas story. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 2, I'm going to read just a couple of verses. He says this, verse 1, he says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, and you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is a spirit that is at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. And all of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, the who we were, the brokenness, our mess, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. And then in verse 8, he says this, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for that. It's a gift of God. And so when we look at these angels coming and shouting to these shepherds, and really who were at that time probably about the lowest of the low, God proclaimed to them this message that at the time they probably didn't understand. And it was a message of peace, not for the world, but in the world. That in this world, you can have peace. We can look at the brokenness and the mess and the craziness around us, and we can still have peace knowing that there's a God who loves us, who has a purpose so much bigger than what we're walking through, than the things that we're in, that we have a hope beyond this moment, that there is an eternity for us in heaven, that we don't have to look at the things that are right here, right now, and be brokenhearted and be without hope. We can have peace knowing that we have a hope. Peace, as we see through all this, comes from Jesus. And the way we get that peace is by believing and knowing Jesus. So I want to ask you a question. I actually want to ask really two different questions. The first is, you may have never encountered Jesus before, and I want to know, do you know him? Have you encountered the peace that can only come from the Prince of Peace? And I want to challenge you today, before we wrap up this message, before we step into the Christmas season, before we celebrate the birth of our Lord, the birth of our Savior, the birth of the Prince of Peace, do you know him? There's a God who loves you very much. And he loves you so much, he wrapped himself up into human flesh and came down here and lived a perfect and sinless life so that he could pay the price for your sin and for mine, because I'm just as messed up and maybe even more. And in doing so, he made a way for us to be made right with God and to have a hope beyond this moment. We've got a hope here right now. We have a different future and we have a different life. And because of that, we can walk in peace. Have you experienced that? We're going to pray at the end of this, and I want to encourage you to make that choice to follow Jesus. I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that when we finish up here today. And the second group is this. You may be watching today and you may be going, hey, Pastor, you know what? I've been following Jesus, but you know what? I'm finding there are places in my life where I don't see peace, but I see fear, or I see doubt, or I see worry. And there's places in my life where I need peace. I want to pray with you today and pray that you would give those places to God. So let's pray. Father God, Lord, we just come to you today. And God, I want to say thank you first and foremost for all that you have done. As we step into this Christmas season and we remember your grace in your life, God, that you so freely chose to give us peace. And Lord, just for those of us that are here today that may not know you, God, we choose today to say, God, I need you. Lord, I need you. And Lord, I choose to turn away from the things that I've been doing. And God, I turn to you. And Lord, I say, you're my only hope. Jesus, fill my heart and my life, and I choose to follow you. Lord, give me your peace. I love you. God, for those of us who are here and we're finding places in our life that we've held back from you, that we've been holding on to our own fears or our worries, or our own way of trying to do things, God, we just choose to repent and say, God, forgive us for the things that we've held back from you. And Lord, we choose today to give you those things. And God, say, fill us once again, Lord, in these parts in our life, in every single part of our life. Lord, may you be our Lord and our Savior. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Well, I want to thank you so much for being here today at COTK Online. Again, make sure you give some shouts out to everybody that's here. And man, connect with folks. This is you may not be in a church building, but this is still your church. This is still your church family. So connect with some of these folks here. And if you have any questions about anything, please, please, please don't hesitate to contact us via either messenger or email or phone. You can call us at the church office too, and we actually do answer. And thank you so much. Again, if you were here for the first time or you've got some questions, fill out the connection card. If you need someone to pray with you, fill out the connection card. And if you're giving today, you can do so either at the website, cotk.us, or through our app. Love you guys. Thank you so much. Have an awesome, awesome, awesome Christmas holiday. On behalf of our pastor, Pastor Todd and Lisa, we love you guys, and we'll see you back here next week. Take care.